In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and not free ourselves. We have sinned against you without really being, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Once you make it, oh yes, I'm waiting for the journey. A reading from Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord, because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I do for my servant's sake. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me, O Lord, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me. You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. From you comes my praise in great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. A reading from Galatians. Now before faith came, we were in prison and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let him enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We tend to love, if not idolize, our power structures in our society. Much of the social unrest that we see throughout history into our present day are pushbacks against power structures and hierarchies that oppress and even kill. And much of that is due to the distinctions that we make between people and between those who are deserving and undeserving. And that gets into those distinctions and classifications and hierarchies that we set up. I remember a rabbi once telling me that there are prayers that have existed within Judaism where a male Jewish person would get up and say, and thank God and say, "Thank God I am not a Gentile. Thank God I am not a woman. Thank God I am not a slave." There have been modern revisions of that prayer in the more affirmative. Thank God I am a Jew. Thank God I am a man, right? Thank God I am free, right? It's good to not define ourselves by what we're not. It's also good to define ourselves, define other people by what they're not, by who they are. But looking at that negative phrasing there, thank God I'm not a man. Thank God I'm not a Gentile. Thank God I'm not a slave. And then you come across what Paul writes here in Galatians. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. That sounds very radical and provocative here. The power structures and hierarchies are no more in Christ. But we trust a system that perpetuates a status quo that harms, alienates, and oppresses people. It's what we see in our gospel lesson with the demoniac. He's shackled, pushed to the margins. You might remember when we first started supporting Royal Family Kids, which is a foster care summer camp. They had in their literature that 70% of people in prison have had some kind of contact with the foster care system. 80% of people on death row had some connection with the foster care system. We don't seek to do any kind of intervention or reform with that system that's feeding right into our prison system. And then when it comes to our prison system as well, we punish addiction. We punish mental illness. We don't treat those things. We punish it. We don't seek to rehabilitate people who are imprisoned. They get out, and what happens oftentimes? They go back in, back to be shackled. What happens to the demoniac in Luke's gospel? Gets out, right? It says he's guarded and shackled, but would break free. And then they get him right back to where they felt he belonged. A world with those kind of structures and hierarchies is a world with no grace or compassion. You and I might not question the system, but sooner or later, I believe if you live long enough, you will see how disposable you are to this world. It could come due to your age, disability, or illness. But if you live long enough, if you haven't experienced that kind of sentiment or prejudice already, you will see just how disposable you are to this world with no grace or compassion. And the reality is that when we disrupt the systems of power in this world, when things are going well for others, that becomes a problem. And we ourselves might not be aware of the problems, of the suffering, because things are going well for us. So we don't question, we don't want to rock the boat. And quite frankly, it might upset the bottom line for many, as we see happened in Luke's gospel today for the swineherds. We often fail to envision a world where the suffering can be alleviated and the oppressed liberated. Which is why I find that just that kind of narrative note in Luke's gospel and how for many times it had seized him, the demoniac, he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. He'd break those bonds, be driven into the wilds, only to keep going back. The people just kept doing the same thing to him. They were not interested in tending to his pain or liberation, and by no means did they have any desire to integrate him into the community. They kept bringing him back and shackling him, containing him to the margins. We might read that today and say, man, these people were foolish. They lack compassion. But as I pointed out, I think our prison system has that same sentiment. Not tending to people's pain, suffering, or trauma, not addressing the underlying problem, not treating things like addiction or mental illness, but punishing it, no desire to integrate those who have served their time. We have faith in the power structures of this world that have no compassion or grace. We are content with many who are not helped and continue to be sent back and shackled, contained to the margins, guarded like the demoniac. But as Christians, it isn't the power structures of this world that we're supposed to have faith and trust in. It isn't the power structures of this world that makes us alive. It's Jesus Christ. The world may give us something from time to time, but as I pointed out, these structures will turn on you eventually if they haven't already. These structures turned on Jesus, nailing him to a cross. But the good news is that that was not the end for him. Christ ultimately destroys the power structures and systems of this world. They are crushed. And not only are those systems crushed, but a new way and a new kingdom is established through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith and trust move from the broken power structures of this world to be placed in the one who has come to restore all of God's creation. The good news is that we are children of God. In Christ, the structures and the hierarchies and the distinctions are no more. We're part of a new creation and a new family. As we hear in Galatians, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. When our trust is in Christ and not the broken systems and hierarchies and distinctions of our world, we can truly center ourselves in who we are and whose we are as our primary identity. As we hear in Galatians, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You've heard me say it before. What do you have to do to earn an inheritance? Nothing. An inheritance is given to you. We are heirs of a promise. We place our trust, our faith, in the one whose love on the cross delivered us and then delivers to us a promise that will come to pass, a promise that gives us life everlasting and new life today. Again, what we see in Galatians and in the way of Jesus that is in contrast to our world is that the way of Jesus does not define us by what we can do and produce. Christ has showed us a new way and invited us to lean into a new identity. Christ has included us in this new way, in this new system, and this new kingdom. The restoration, as I said, of the demoniac in Luke's gospel comes at the cost of the status quo. We hear that people don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. They're terrified. They're afraid. Because there are times what Jesus has to offer might not be about you, but someone else. And in restoring the other, it might upset what we're used to. It could even impact the bottom line for some of us. But the status quo kept that man shackled, guarded, and oppressed. The grace of God in this instance restructures things in such a way that not only is this man restored, but he can be fully integrated into the community. I love it when he tries to follow Jesus. He gets on the boat and Jesus says, go home. You have a home now. You have a place where you belong, where you can fully belong. And not only that, but they kicked Jesus out, right? They said, you need to go. And in saying, go home, but tell them what God has done. He leaves behind a witness to God's great mercy and compassion in Jesus Christ. We're given restoration and new life. That's what Christ has to offer us. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. In the ministry entrusted to us, distinctions are no longer made. It's one of the purposes behind our free community meal. It's offered to everyone, period. Over the years, I've noticed that when doing social outreach in various ministry contexts, we want to make those distinctions between deserving and undeserving, but that's importing the power structures, the hierarchies, and the distinctions of this world into the ministry of the church. How free and liberating it is for us that are serving the meal on Wednesday to not have to stress about qualifications, meal limits, or any other distinctions or power structures the world has set up. People drive up or come into the fellowship hall and say, I need 3 meals, 2 meals, 10 meals. We just do it. In Christ, there's no longer distinction. We're free to live into a ministry of grace. We can live into this ministry of grace that restructures the power of this world, even if it's only for a moment in the lives of those that we serve. We can live into this ministry of grace that restructures the power of this world in not just responding to the crisis and the hardships and traumas that people are currently experiencing, but we can also intervene ahead of time and not just react but prevent horrible things from happening in the lives of people if we take this ministry of grace seriously. But it means not being consumed with the power structures of this world and being comfortable with the status quo. Let us love others with no distinction as Christ has loved us. And may that love of Jesus that we share continue to transform our lives, those we serve, and the world around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. Holy God, you hear the cries of those who seek you. Equip your church with evangelists who reveal the continuous call of your outstretched hands and your promises of a home in you. God of grace. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God, God of grace. You hear cries of the earth, restore places where land, air, and waterways have been harmed. Guide us to develop and implement sources of energy and food production that do not destroy the earth, God of grace. You hear cries of those who are marginalized or cast out. Bring true freedom and human flourishing to all of your beloved children, God of grace. Gracious God, you have abundantly shared with us so that we may share with each other. Bless the ministry of our weekly community meal and the gifts so many have shared to support this important work. May these gifts be used to help meet the needs of our neighbors, and may they be signs of your gracious love and our hope for a time when all will dine together at your banquet table, God of grace. You hear cries of those who suffer. Come to the aid of those who are homeless, naked, hungry, and sick, especially Tracy, Scott, Amber, Faith, Vincent, Pat, Dave, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Rhonda, Barb, Jasmine, Pete, Cheryl, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. Bring peace to any experiencing mental illness that they can clearly recognize your loving presence, God of grace. You hear cries of those who celebrate and those who grieve on this Father's Day. Nurture mutual love and tender care in all relationships. Comfort those whom this day brings sadness or longing, God of grace. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke, and their chaplains, God of grace. We give thanks for the faithful departed whose lives proclaimed all you had done for them, especially Richard and Lauren. At the last, unite us with them as we make our home in you, God of grace.
God of every time and place, in Jesus' name, and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Thank you.
pray. God of abundance, you have set before us a plentiful harvest. As we feast on your goodness, strengthen us to labor in your field and equip us to bear fruit for all good, for the good of all. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows, and Jesus, our brother, he was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen!"
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen!" Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father, to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ dwells with us here. all who are hungry, all who are thirsty, come. You may be seated.
At this time, I invite forward our
communion assistants and those who are going to participate in children's church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, generous God, for in this bread and cup we have tasted the new heaven and earth where hunger and thirst are no more. Send us from this table as witnesses to the resurrection, that through our lives all may know life in Jesus' name.
Announcements for the good of the community? Mark, did you have an announcement? Just want to give a thanks and an update for those who gave to our Daily Bread matching grant. Our goal was $500. Last time I checked, we were at $600. And that will be matched up to $500, and that will help our weekly community meals. So thanks for all who participated. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. God, the author of life, Christ, the living cornerstone, and the life-giving spirit of adoption, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.